Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a speaking God, and we pray that you would help us to listen now. Give us hearts that are not deaf to your word, but ones that are open to receive it and to trust in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I said earlier, we're going to be starting this series on the Reformation. And so it's going to be a bit like a history lesson. Now, who likes history here? Did you like history at school? Yeah, or some people did. So we do things like, I've got my little, I'm in control. No, not that way, I'm not. You've got to start off the PowerPoint. You've got to put it onto the PowerPoint. Oh, there we go. There we go. So, have you done the Romans in school, in history? Yeah? You're doing it this year. Excellent. And you may do the Tudors and Henry VIII and building Tudor houses. I know that some people in school are doing that at the moment. So we learn lots of things from history, but we're going to be doing some church history, finding out about the history of the church. And you may think, oh, that is going to be so boring. But it is really, really important. Let me tell you why. Well, because 500 years ago, the church was in a mess. Okay? It was all over the place. It had completely lost the plot. And what's more, it had lost the gospel. It had lost the good news of Jesus. So it was in a mess because it was corrupt. That means that people were, the priests and the bishops were just out to make money for themselves and to get power for themselves. But let's say, more importantly, they'd lost the gospel. They'd stopped teaching the good news about how we could be friends with God through Jesus' death in our place. And instead, they'd put in place lots of rules and rituals by which that you had to keep to be friends with God. And that made lots of people upset, including who we heard about, Martin Luther. And so what Luther and others did in the face of all these problems in the church is they went back to the Bible. They went back and read their Bibles and rediscovered these great truths that stand at the heart of the gospel. And they became known as the five solas. Not in solar panels or solar systems, it's got nothing to do with the sun. But it's sola, S-O-L-A. And it is Latin for alone. So we've got our Latin expert in Peter, so he can tell us all this. And I'm very scared about my pronunciation now. But we have these five truths. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola gratia, grace alone, solus Christus, Christ alone, and soli Deo Gloria, God's glory alone. I was on a conference last week, and I was talking about doing this system, this series, and someone said to me, oh yeah, I was at a church recently, and they had them up, and they had sola Christus, and everyone started laughing. I didn't have a clue what was going on. But apparently it's the feminine. The feminine is sola and the solus is the masculine. So there you go, there's a little Latin lesson. But I was sitting there, complete ignorance, because I didn't have a clue. So I think there's much better in the English. So, which is scripture alone, Bible alone. That was the first thing that they discovered. That the Bible is the ultimate and trustworthy authority above all other things. So whatever anyone else says, the Bible is our first and foremost authority. That's where we go to judge all other things by. So that's one thing they discovered. They also discovered faith alone. Faith alone. That we're not saved by our works, but by trusting in Jesus. They discovered grace alone. That we're saved by God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Not by any kind of merit in ourselves. That we're saved by Christ alone. that Jesus is where we see God, and he's the way that we can know God. And finally, that it's all for God's glory alone. We sang, didn't we, to God be the glory earlier on. And that's right, because we live for God's glory. That's why we've been saved, to worship him. So that's what they discovered. Because at the time, this, all these things can be completely lost, because the church was a bit like my desk. There's my desk. Okay? I know it's not very good. And a disordered desk means a disordered mind and all that kind of stuff. But there you go, there's my desk. And it was a bit like trying to find the gospel in all those piles of paper. It was in there somewhere, but they just couldn't find it. And so what happened at the Reformation is they dug around in that pile of bits and they looked back at the Bible and they found the gospel again. And they made it clear for all to see. All the other stuff got chucked in the bin, and the essential gospel was made clear for us to believe in. And that's why we called the series Back to the Future. Partly in honour of my favourite films, Back to the Future. It's a great film with Marty McFly there, playing Johnny B. Good. That was, I always, kind of when I was a kid, tried to copy that as I was watching the film. And great cars and hoverboards. But that's not really why we've gone to call it Back to the Future. It is because it sums up what happened at the Reformation. Because at the Reformation, Martin Luther and others went back to the Bible. They went back to what God had said. And by doing that, and by discovering these truths that were taught by Jesus and taught in the Bible, by discovering those again, they offered a future to the church. They changed the church forever. And they changed our lives too. Because it meant that we could have a future. But the Reformation also teaches how easy it is for the gospel to get lost. Just like on that desk, it's easy for other bits of paper to pile back on top, isn't it? And for the gospel to be lost again, to be put on one side or neglected. And that's also why it's called Back to the Future, because not only did Luther and the others have to go back to rediscover the gospel, but we have to keep on going back. Back to what they discovered and back to the Bible ourselves, so that we can ensure that we're changed, that the church stays teaching the gospel, and that we have a certain future. That those great truths we discovered back then don't get lost, but instead that we continue to teach them, we continue to believe them. That's why we need to go back to the future. And what we're going to do in the next 4 weeks is we're going to look at each of those solas, those statements, in a bit more detail, look at where we see them in the Bible, and see how they're to apply to our lives. But before we do today, what we're going to do is we're going to think a bit about the heart of the Reformation. What's really at the heart of it? And we'll do that in a few moments. But before we do, we're going to stand and sing again.